Romans 7, verses 21 through 25, these are God's words. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God, according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the apostle uses the word law in three different ways here. One is his sinful nature. Not his sinful nature. He has a new nature. That's one of the main things here. One way that he uses the word law is to refer to his remaining sin. And that's in verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. It is always true. It is always a reality that his evil is present with him in this life. He will not be fully sanctified in this life as long as he is in this body. That's one of the reminders to us. Thankfully, when a believer dies and he sheds this body, his soul and body are separated in death, but praise God, as he says elsewhere, his soul departs and is with Christ, and he prefers that his soul would be clothed with the presence of Christ, even then that it would be clothed with a body, to remain and enjoy God's design for a human being to be body and soul. But in order for the soul to depart and be with Christ, it has to be perfected in holiness. And it will be. The moment you die, if you are a believer in Jesus, death will be the moment at which your soul is perfected in holiness. And the body that began to decay while your soul was wearing it will really accelerate in decay once you die. And you'll become worm food. And then worm excrement. But God will raise that body even then from the dead on the day of the resurrection. But as long as you are in this body, as long as we are body and soul together with a decaying body, which is why he calls it the body of death. You can see that death is in operation in it. Even when you're young, there are indications of it, and sin, and illness, and things not working the way they should. But just wait until you start to get old and everything starts to break down. Even if you are in good health, just a few decades, and the whole thing will start coming unraveled. And then that body will return to dust. It's a body of death. And as long as your soul is in your body of death, your soul has evil present with it. It's a law. It will always be true. And so rather than trying to pretend it away or excuse it, we should deal with it in the way that the Lord teaches us, which we'll especially be hearing about in the first half of chapter 8 as he gets us ready for that, because God is the one who deals with it and who helps us with it. But that's the first sort of law. I find a law that that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. And then there's two other ways that he uses the word law. One is the law, the good commandments of God, especially as embraced by a spiritual person. A person that the Spirit has given new life to. And so he's going to continue describing it that way. When we get into chapter 8, he's going to refer to God's law as the law of the Spirit of life. The law as a converted person who delights in it in his inner being, like he says in verse 22, who sees it as holy and holy, and the commandment as holy and just and good, as he says, excuse me, as holy and just and good, as he says in verse 12. The law that he agrees with, as he says in verse 16. This law is the law of God in the hands of the Spirit of life. The law of God as his new nature in Christ responds to it. And we know how Jesus responds to the law, don't we? We have a wonderful instruction in it throughout the Bible, and especially Psalm 119. How we love and delight in God's law. That's the mind of Christ. That is the mind in verse 22. That is the mind that the Spirit of life gives to a believer whom he brings to faith in Jesus Christ. That is the view of the law that the Spirit increases then in that believer, the more and more he conforms him to Christ by that faith. But there's also still, because there's evil present in us, and there's sinfulness present in us, and we've seen what sin does with the law of God, haven't we? And we know that we still have those reactions. Don't we sometimes on the Lord's Day in our inner heart and inner mind think to ourselves, well, how can I do this thing that I really want to do and not be breaking the Sabbath? And I have in my mind two pictures. One is an Old Testament professor of mine who appears in my memory and folds his arms and looks down his nose and says, you just broke the Sabbath. But also the reminder from this chapter, Romans 7, that when I have that sort of internal response, I know where it's coming from. It's not coming from my new nature in Christ. My new nature in Christ does not respond to God's good law that way. That's coming from remaining sin. That's coming from the sin that dwells in me, the one who wants to do good. And so I can say, aha, I see you, indwelling sin. I see you, my former nature. I am going to delight in the fact that it's God's day. And I'm going to delight in him. And I'm going to stop trying to figure out how much I can get away with and still be keeping the Sabbath. What a ridiculous idea. But you see how recognizing the difference between the law of God in the hands of the Spirit of life and the law of God in the hands of, as he's going to call it in chapter 8 and verse 2, sin and death. You see the difference in how we respond to the law of God internally. So those are the three uses of law here. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, number two, the law in the hands of the Spirit of life. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Well, we know who's going to win between the law in the hands of the Spirit of life. Exactly right. If one is the law in the hands of the Spirit of life, and the other is in the law in the hands of our remaining sin, which one's going to win?
God.
Exactly. And so when he thinks about the one that's fighting against him, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And the answer is, exactly, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's in the middle of the battle. He feels wretched in the battle. But he already knows that he must win the battle. Because the battle is between God in Christ by his Spirit on the one hand, and that which remains from my former nature on the other hand. Oh yes, it makes us wretched, but its days are numbered. and its defeat is sure. And so he summarizes this experience of the law in two different hands in his heart at the end of verse 25. So then with the mind, and by that he means with my new nature given to me by Christ, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, there is that remaining flesh in him, the law of sin. And which do we want to win? We want to serve the law of God. We want to respond to God's law according to the Spirit of life. And so when you see those two things in combat, and you see how your heart responds, and when you see how your heart, under the influence of your remaining sin, your indwelling sin, responds to God's law, you start knowing how to recognize the target and attack it and take the right side. And he's going to talk more about this battle and how it's waged and how it's won going into chapter 8. Praise God. So, my dear children, I hope you are aware of your inner thought life and how you respond to God's good law, and are learning the practice from these passages that we're hearing on the Wednesday nights and in the corresponding family worships. I hope you're learning the practice of taking sides in your inner thought life, as there are two sides. The law of the Spirit of life is the good guys. The law of sin and death, the bad guys. Let's pray. Thanks be to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant that your Spirit and his Spirit would help us more and more to remember and understand and love and apply your word. Write its truth on our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.